Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for a very interesting boxing match between Jake Paul and Nate Diaz. Very strange times we're living in. So this is a really interesting matchup for, you know, a variety of different reasons, of course. The history and the career that Nate Diaz has had, the career that Jake Paul is carving out for himself, not only in the entertainment industry, but in the professional combat sports industry. He's signed with the PFL. He's going to be doing MMA at some point in the future as well. He's taking on another MMA legend, someone, in my opinion, that's probably got a bigger cult following than everybody else that he's fought combined. I mean, you know, Nate Diaz is a brand within his own right that carries so much weight and interest. Stepping into a boxing ring for the first time, professionally, putting on the big gloves, taking on someone that's got a considerable amount less combat sports as well as just general fighting experience. You know, Jake Paul's 7-1 compared to Nate Diaz in MMA, who's 22-13. And, you know, just the pedigree of the Diaz name, it resonates in combat sports in a very different way, a very consistent way, what with his brother Nick Diaz as well. Before we get into this, I've got to give our friends and sponsors AG1 a shout out. I love this stuff. I use it every day. It is one of the best daily habits that I've developed in the last few years. I add one scoop a day. This is one of the travel packs. You'll get 5 of these free with your order if you use our code OUTLAWED. Every day I wake up, I go one scoop in 12 ounces of water, drink it down. And before anything else, I've set myself on the right path through the day to make good decisions with the rest of my diet, my training and everything. You'll also get a year's free supply of D3 and K2 as well, which will help support your immune system. But this AG1, honestly, it will improve your sleep. It will improve your focus. Your energy levels will be consistent. It really is fantastic stuff. 75 high quality ingredients in each one of these. Definitely a habit worthwhile integrating into your life. And it's going to cost you about $3 a day. It's just, it's a game changer. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then try AG1. You'll get 5 of the free travel packs and you'll get a year's free supply of D3 and K2 along with your first order. When you use our code, go to drinkag1.com/outlawed. That's drinkag1.com/outlawed. Okay, tale of the tape. So Nate Diaz stands at 6 foot tall with a reach of 76 inches. Jake Paul, exactly the same, 6 foot, 76 inches. The difference comes in their age. Jake Paul is 12 years younger than Nate Diaz. He's had a considerable amount less fights. He's taken a lot less damage. He's basically been a professional since his first fight. I mean, the attention, the money surrounding him, the money he had to invest in himself from the beginning of his career is unlike anything that most fighters will ever experience. So, you know, you've got to give credit to Jake Paul for doing what he needs to get himself into the right situation now, to not only be making big money and fighting these big names, but also being prepared to take on these challenges. A lot of people can't get in against Nate Diaz and have any hope of holding their own. And a lot of people have got Jake Paul coming in as the favorite for this one. So like that shows you where the opinions of are of these fighters. And a lot of that is, you know, down to where Nate Diaz is in his career. There's no doubt about that. We also can't underestimate how experience will play a big part. You know, Jake Paul thought it would be, a good counter to be able to, well, we'll add 2 rounds. We'll make this 10 rounds. When in actuality, I think that starts to work against him. Like he might be standing there in the 8th round thinking to himself, my goodness, I wish I'd not agreed to those extra 2 rounds, because Nate Diaz might just be finding his groove at that point and just whack, whack. You know how Nate Diaz is. Funny, I remember the first Conor McGregor fight. I remember filming the breakdown for it and then flying off to deepest, darkest Peru. And about a week and a half later, I was sitting in an internet cafe watching the fight on my phone. And it was just like, when you realize, not, you know, when you're in combat sports and you realize what Nate Diaz did on that night, and when you realize the impact that he's had on combat sports and the fact that, you know, he fought for the BMF belt and he lost and no one cares. And, you know, and it's like, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, even if he'd have fought Chimaev on his way out of the UFC and got his ass kicked, which we all were expecting, it wouldn't have mattered. He's still Nate Diaz. It's almost like he's untouchable. And that untouchable energy follows him everywhere. And I think, you know, even stepping into the boxing world, there's a confidence that's going to come with that that is probably unlike anything that Jake Paul's faced in the past. Like, let me just pull up his boxer record. Where is it? Because the thing is, right, you hang on. The thing is with Jake Paul, right, he's been very considered in the way that he's chosen his opponents. And that's, you know, that there's no attack in that in any way, because that is exactly what professional boxers do in the beginning of their career. I mean, you know, if you look, I've got his record here, but let me just click on Tommy Fury, for example. And again, I'm not picking on him. But if we look at through the guys that Tommy Fury fought in his first handful of fights, he wasn't fighting anybody of any worth of any quality, because the point of a professional boxer's early career is to give them the time in the ring with the gloves on in front of a crowd, even if it's just a few seats filled in an arena because they're on at 4 o'clock on an undercard of an undercard of an undercard of a professional boxing event. You know, that's really what boxers normally experience, the process of going to these events that no one cares about you fighting, no one's there to watch you, you're just there to fill a space and to get some experience. Like, even from the very first fight that Jake Paul had, it was all eyes were on him. They were like, you know, like millions of people watched that fight. That's a different kind of attention. It doesn't mean that he's got the pedigree, though, to support that. And in moments where he's up against someone like Nate Diaz, where Jake's starting to run out of gas, and then he's realizing he's not fighting a Ben Askren that could never box anyway, or a Tyron Woodley that was way past his best, that was just afraid to let anything go, or an Anderson Silva who was nearly 50 years old, right? Like, now he's fighting Nate Diaz, who, yes, he's 38, and yeah, he's got a bunch of scar tissue, and, you know, yeah, he's on the downturn of his career, but you're not telling me Nate Diaz can't do 10 rounds hard in boxing gloves against Jake Paul? I absolutely think he can. My concerns really are about the overall damage that Nate will take, because Jake Paul is a big kid and he does hit hard. And I feel like he might be better against southpaws, to be honest. He seemed to have better range management against Anderson Silva than he did against Tommy Fury. And I don't think that's necessarily because... I don't think it's at all because Tommy Fury is a better boxer than Anderson Silva. I just feel like because Jake Paul's style is so heavily orientated around that big right hand, that he prefers a southpaw because there's more space to throw it. Like, there were a lot of times in the Tommy Fury fight where I felt like he might clash heads with him because he was winging that right hand in. And occasionally Tommy was in close. He was throwing his own shots and they came close a few times to clashing heads. Like, that's a realistic concern for Nate Diaz, stepping into range and Tommy Fury and Jake Paul's throwing a big right hand as Nate's stepping in and throwing a big left hand, and there's a clash of heads. Like, that's where the impact will bounce off Jake Paul much easier than it will against a heavily damaged scar tissued face of Nate Diaz. And same with him with the gloves as well. Like, you want to make sure those gloves are as sweaty as possible, as quickly as possible. And you want to make sure your corner team, who I would probably imagine is bringing Stitch in, I would imagine that Nate Diaz will be very smart about his cut man. He'll need someone who's experienced, who knows what to do and how to deal with, you know, long-term cuts, because there are scars on scars on scars on Nate Diaz's face, and most likely he's going to have to get patched up between rounds. I mean, something I'd not thought about, but these are 3-minute rounds, which means that he can get back to his corner for treatment much quicker than he can in an MMA fight, which might prolong his ability to stay in this fight. But cuts may definitely work against him. And I do feel like because Jake Paul likes to really wing that right hand in, the potential for a head clash might be a serious concern. Okay, so Of course, Nate Diaz doesn't have a professional boxing record, so there's no point in doing a comparison for boxing. But if we do a comparison for fights, right? Jake Paul's had 8 fights. 7 of them have been wins. 4 of them have been finishes by knockout. Nate Diaz has had, hang on a minute, my maths is terrible, 35 fights, 5 by knockout. Now, of course, Nate Diaz is an excellent submission artist, but we have to discard all of that and focus on, I didn't even write down how many submissions on his record. We have to focus on the fact that he's, you know, he doesn't have incredibly heavy hands. It's consistency, and it is like waterboarding. That's how I would imagine it. You know, I've sparred with some people that have got a pace like that where they just keep going, and it is exhausting. Even if you're not getting hurt, you just feel like you kind of can't reset and you can't breathe. And like if you've not watched it, go and watch Paul Daly against Nick Diaz. It's one of the best back and forth you'll ever see in a fight. And that shows you the value of, because Paul Daly's natural power compared to Nick Diaz is different. But Nick Diaz's consistency and his volume, that's what got through in the end. And same thing with Nate Diaz against Conor McGregor. The volume gets through because it exhausts his opponent, who level changes into a guillotine. Like, don't be surprised if you see Nate Diaz, and I know this might sound silly, don't be surprised if you see Nate Diaz attack a guillotine. It wouldn't surprise me at all if, as he's throwing punches, Jake Paul's posture breaks and he's right there. Nate Diaz will wrap him up and lift him up in a guillotine just to squeeze his neck for a second, just to prove a point, right? You're not going to get any of the antics where he's laying down in the ring like the Anderson Silva fight with Nick. You're not going to get that kind of thing. He's going to stay on his feet, but don't be surprised if he does wrap a guillotine a few times, because Jake Paul does drop his head a lot, and that is going to be an option. And Nick will do it just to remind him that if the rules were different, he would be in a lot more danger. So 7 wins, 4 by knockout, 22 wins, 5 by knockout. Then if we break down and we look at the finishes that Nate Diaz has had. So the last one was 2013 against Gray Maynard. And Gray Maynard's an incredibly tough individual, takes a hell of a punch. He's got a real thick neck on him, like very, very strong, tough, difficult to put away individual. The finish of that fight, Nate Diaz was literally screaming at him between punches and taking free shots. And that fight was TKO on the feet. Gray Maynard went down after the referee had stepped in there and stopped Nate. So there's no bang, punching you dead, not even when you're taking free shots. So the idea of Nate knocking Jake Paul out, for me, is a very, 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 very narrow possibility. What's more likely is that Jake Paul goes down out of exhaustion. He goes down out of a volume of 10 or 15 punches, bam, 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 little body shot sneaks through maybe. That's the kind of thing that's going to put him down, put him away. And that will be in the corner when there's nowhere else to go. Backed up, trying to just stay in the fight, exhausted. Like, I went back and watched the Tommy Fury fight today, and it gave me more confidence for Nate Diaz. I keep doing this for some reason, like I'm measuring a bit of the table. It gave me more confidence for Nate Diaz rewatching that fight, because Jake did look tired in the later rounds. You know, and he was lunging and going back to the same basic techniques that someone like Nate Diaz, he'll just catch him with those little hooks, Kawasaki hooks on the inside as he steps in. Like, Jake's head's here all the time. And Nate's not bothered about generating loads of power. You're going to see bat, 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 bat. These are the shots that are going to exhaust Jake Paul. They're not going to hurt him necessarily, but they're going to box his ears, as my granddad would have said. You know, they're going to exhaust him. They're going to knock him off balance, and they're going to shut down his own offense, right? So if I'm Jake Paul, what am I doing? Well, first of all, I know that Nate Diaz has got a lot of scar tissue, and I also know that he doesn't move his feet very well, right? Nate's always been better at moving his upper body than moving his feet. My joke is, and I must make this over and over again, my joke is that it must be like boxing an inflatable floor-standing punch bag. Because anyone that's ordered one of those shitty things out the catalogue, it's got a weight in the bottom. The whole thing, it just rocks backwards and forwards like those arm flailing tube men that they're always talking about on Family Guy. Like, it's so difficult to hit him with anything, because as you're hitting, it's just drifting off him and rolling off him. Like, watch the first fight against Conor McGregor. Like, McGregor, yes, he landed that left hand over and over again. but it wasn't clean because Nate's already moving away. He's already rolling the punch off the side of his head off his lead shoulder. Much easier to do southpaw v southpaw or orthodox v orthodox. Much easier to use that lead shoulder to fill his shell and protect yourself. Much more difficult, southpaw v orthodox, which is what we're going to see here with Jake Paul, Nate Diaz. So the real risk for Nate Diaz is that big rear hand being thrown over and over again. Jake's going to go hook to the body. He's going to come up the center line. He's going to come around the side with a long hook. He's going to come over the top. He's going to come around the he's going to come down the center line. The variety of what he can do with that right hand, as well as the fact that it comes off the same thing most of the time, the lead hand. Wow. The variety of that is going to be difficult for Nate to judge. He's going to take some shots, and some of those shots might cut him. They might hurt him. They might make him look like he's rocked because it might put him on his heels for a second. But that is exactly what Jake Paul needs to do. And if he can add in some body shots as well, because he's got to assume that the head of Nate Diaz is going to drift away quicker than the body will, start working some big shots to the body as well, and he'll start taking some of the fight out of Nate Diaz. Not necessarily the attitude, but the fight, the volume that he can put out because of if he's taking shots to the body, it's going to affect his gas tank, no matter how fit he is. And I'm sure that Nate Diaz is plenty fit enough to do 10 threes, as is Jake Paul, but just maybe not at Nate Diaz's pace. What else have I got written down? So, average fight time for Nate Diaz was different. UFC Stats has got it at 15:23. UFC.com has got it at 11:35. So, I don't know whether one is including his WEC fights or something like that, or maybe his ultimate fight. I don't know what it is, but there's a variance there. But we know Nate Diaz has got staying power. He's not going to go anywhere. Interestingly, Jake Paul has done 34 rounds total, for 34 3-minute rounds total, and his average is 4.9 rounds. So you're looking at about 15 minutes being his average fight time. Again, it's going to be different because this is Nate Diaz, who's not going to fight at the same pace as a Ben Askren or a Anderson Silva, or I mean nobody really that he's fought before. Like, when Nate Diaz starts, it's going to be consistent, and it's going to be difficult for Jake Paul to keep up if he's not done enough damage already to start either bringing in the doctors or swaying the judges, etc., etc. 45% significant strike accuracy for Nate Diaz, and that's a really good stat. But I also, we are measuring the table again for some reason. It's also worth remembering, though, that the majority of his significant strikes are going to be thrown once his opponent's already tired. He's not starting the fight with significant strikes like Jake Paul will, right? Jake Paul's going to start with that jab, but he's going to start throwing power punches as soon as he gets the opportunity. That's what he did against Tommy Fury. He was trying to hurt him as quickly as he could. Nate Diaz is not going to do the same thing. So his early strikes, where he's kind of feeling his range out, are just going to be slapping, which is much easier to do with a boxing glove. No worry about eye pokes. He can post, he can slap, he can drag on his head and wear him out. He can hit him with cheeky uppercuts. He's going to be able to get away with some stuff here because people are going to expect him to push his luck and push the rules. His significant strikes is absorbed is 3.7. Significant strikes landed is 4.5. So he's always landing more significant strikes than he's taking statistically throughout his UFC career. The two finishes that he's had, though, as I've kind of diverted off that topic, Gray Maynard standing TKO, Rory Markham ground and pound. And again, like, Rory Markham was a tough power puncher. Nate didn't put him away, though. It was volume of strikes. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm saying. It's going to be difficult for Nate to hope to land anything clean and do a lot of damage to Jake Paul with one shot. But because Nate knows this, he can expect it of himself, right? Like, if someone's a power puncher and they can't land that power punch, they're like, there's a panic starts to set in. If you're not a power puncher, you don't need to worry about landing a power punch. You just need to worry about landing. So Nate's already in a position where he's not overexpending energy because he's just cruising at a comfortable pace and just picking off his opponent. And as I said, he'll build. It's a snowball rolling downhill, Nate Diaz. It'll get worse for Jake Paul as the fight goes on. So, like, this fight's going to shift on a spectrum depending on the time. Like, early on, I feel like Jake Paul's got enough power and size to be able to do some good damage. Working to the body, varying the directions of the right hand and making sure that his lead foot's constantly on the outside of Nate Diaz just to make it a bit easier to punch through those targets. And as the fight starts to wear on and Jake Paul starts to slow down, this is where Nate Diaz will start to come on. And if he's not cut at that point, then it's going to be a much easier fight for Nate Diaz to manage. If he's already cut, then he's going to be working against the doctors as well. And depending on where the cut is, will depend on how long he's got. Cuts under his eyes, across the nose, no problem. Cuts above his eyes, in his eyebrows, that's where the doctors will look at stepping in, because the blood will be running in his eyes and that will be deemed a danger to his health. Although punches to the head's kind of dangerous as well. But that's okay in this situation. We love boxing. I'm looking forward to this. I cannot wait to be there ringside for this. It's going to be a fascinating event. And we've got Serrano against Heather Hardy in the co-main as well, which I'm also expecting to be a fantastic rematch. Right, enjoy these fights. Check out AG1, drinkag1.com/outlawed. Go and check it out. Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.